RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Oliver Joel was censored by his school for a speech about the decline of the West and the double standards at play. The school is New Plymouth Boys High. Oliver is 15, a Year 11 student. And, well, some of you probably know about the story, but the Free Speech Union are involved now. And here's a piece on their website from Nadia Braddon Parsons about Oliver's situation. Can students handle views they disagree with? And Nadia says, I believe his situation is emblematic of a stifling culture of ideological conformity in our nation's schools. And the FSU say they're not sitting idly by. Well, Oliver is with us on RCR. Hi, Oliver. Thanks for coming on.
Hi.
You're a bit of a star, bit of a free speech star, Oliver, at a young age.
The story's had a bit of traction with the platform and the Free Speech Union publicising it. It's been quite good.
Yeah. How's it feeling at the moment for you?
Oh, I mean, I'm feeling good. There's overwhelming amount of support for my right to free speech and my right to be able to express these views, and it's going very well.
Okay, so the issue is what? You had a certain view in the speech you had wanted to make, the decline of the West and the double standards at play, et cetera. What's so shocking about that? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, so I mean, I wrote a speech titled The Decline of the West for my school speech competition. And I touched around three different subjects to do with the West. That was the erosion of traditional values, such as the roles of men as providers and protectors and women as nurturers and caregivers that have, I mean, that was the bedrock of Western civilization, effectively. I also touched upon the decline of religion and how religion had provided a form of unity to Western civilization that really held it together. And I also touched upon the impacts of mass immigration and multiculturalism and linked it back to the Western Roman Empire, where they struggled with a vast influx of diverse peoples and different customs.
How long have you been thinking about these things, Oliver?
Well, I really only delved into the issue when I was trying to find a topic for my speech.
Okay, but you must have had thinking on those issues leading up to that to connect with the idea of speaking about that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I've seen a bit about the West and how some people believe that the West is in decline online, and I was doing research about it because I thought it would be a very good speech topic. And I found a book called The Decline of the West by a philosopher from the early 20th century who was basically setting out what he believed would lead to the decline of the West. And the stuff that he writes about in that book is exactly what's happening today. It was quite surprising.
Okay, so what was the assumption that you had was that this is a good topic to write a speech about and present? And then what happened?
Yes, so I mean, I wrote the speech and it went very well at first. My English teacher was quite positive about it. He did say to me something that I found quite interesting.
Oh, yeah?
He said that I need to be careful because the speech could potentially upset one of the judges. So there were two judges at the finals, and he said that it might upset one of them. When I heard him say that, I was quite confused. I started to think, how could it affect, how would it upset one of the judges? Are they taking in their personal biases? Are they not basing it off quality? Are they basing it off opinion? And so I wrote the speech and I was put into the finals. I was originally told I was going to the finals. And it wasn't really until my speech and its content worked its way up to the deputy headmaster who looked at the speech and thought, oh, we can't have this. This topic is controversial. It might upset a few people in the audience. Nope. And he shut it down. And I was told I wasn't allowed to present it because it had right-wing views and it would upset people in the audience.
So what's wrong with right-wing views then, do you think?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I thought, was this political discrimination? Because I mean, last year in the speech finals in my year group, there was a person who spoke on co-governance, on a pro-co-governance speech. It's a left-wing view, which some could perceive as prioritizing people based by race. It was a polarizing view. It was a controversial speech. And I'm sure it would have upset people in the audience. But for some reason, now when I present a speech that might have a right-wing view, that is taboo, that's too controversial, that is not allowed.
Well, it's probably more accurate to say more traditional view than right-wing view, because there are elements in politics in what you were talking about, but there's also a track record of civilization to back it up as well, right?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah, okay. So how did you feel being told this, and by multiple people now?
I was, at first, I was quite surprised. I wasn't sure if you know, they were being serious. Was there something deeper to it? But overall, based on the way that the school has handled the situation throughout it all, I've been actually quite disappointed that, you know, because I'm a year 11 student. I've been at New Plymouth Boys High School for the past 3 years, and what I've seen from them has been very good. I mean, they've a great set of teachers, the senior leadership team, the teachers in charge. I mean, they've been very good. But when I started to see this and these personal biases start to come out, I was quite shocked and I was very disappointed.
Did you want to fight it at that point?
I'm not sure if I had a fighting mood, but I definitely had a mood for justice. I wanted them to be held accountable for what they were doing, because sure, it's just it might seem, oh, it's so small, it's just a speech for a finals. But what it really does is it highlights the overall issue within our education system, where, you know, there is political discrimination, where there is biases and lots of woke ideologies being driven into the education system.
Fellow students, speaking of woke, are students of your age on the whole, in the main, woke?
I'm not sure if I see it as much from the students at New Plymouth Boys High School, but definitely the teachers. They can't discuss anything controversial in class that they can't talk about. They're very limited on what they can talk about.
So you think that that's their ideology, or they're just sort of like fitting what they do to the expectations of an employer?
To the expectations of an employer. I definitely think, I believe that from what I've seen with the way the school's handled it, is that they prioritise reputation over principle. I feel that they believe they need to protect their reputation. They can't, that my views or the views that were expressed in my speech might bring a bad reputation to New Plymouth Boys High School. And I feel they're prioritising that.
What would be the consequence of that? What, the parents wouldn't send their children to that school, or?
Well, what? I'm not sure. I don't know. But what I would say is that the consequence from barring me from the speech competition has been significantly worse than if they'd let me. I mean, they prevented me from doing my speech in front of a group of about maybe 150 people. 150 people, sure, maybe 5 to 10 of them may not have agreed with my views. 5 to 10 of them may have been upset. But what's happened is that because of them barring me from presenting my speech in front of 150 people, after an interview I had with the platform, it got seen by over 150,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's been almost a Streisand effect.
They should have seen that coming.
Maybe they didn't predict the publicity that this issue could garner.
They thought you would go away, Oliver, is what they thought.
That's definitely their game plan, is that if they stay silent and if they don't do much, they just expect it's going to go away. They expect I'm just going to give it up. And I'm not.
Is it correct that it's kind of being spun at the school end now as your speech not being good enough rather than anything else? And if that's the case, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, and they definitely changed their tune. It was once it went public, once I did my speech on Sean Plunkett, that they probably consulted with their legal team and told them that they can't say it will upset people, because it's actually a breach of my rights to take me out of the competition because my speech contains views that they personally believe are not in line with their views. I mean, it's an educational institution. They're meant to promote academic freedom and freedom of thought.
Yet you've got it on tape.
I do. Two of the conversations I had with the deputy head of English and the deputy headmaster, I recorded because I preemptively knew they were going to gaslight me. It's just the way they've handled it. I was quite concerned that it was going to get this far. And I was quite concerned that I was going to get this far and I was going to have nothing to back it up with. It was going to be he said, she said, this is all hearsay. How can we believe you? You're a 15-year-old. This is a person with a university degree. We have to believe them.
I wonder how they felt when they found out you've been recording them. Have you heard?
I haven't heard directly from them, but I'm sure there would have been some serious conversations and some worry there.
And it's not as if you haven't had a track record here, because I believe you were first in year 9 and second in year 10 in the school speech competitions.
Correct. I've been doing public speaking for the past 8 years. I very much enjoy public speaking. I do lots of speech exams. I do very well in English. And I have a very good track record with speaking. So that's why I found it hard to believe that they could even consider taking the point of view that my speech wasn't good enough, because I just don't really see it as a plausible explanation that somebody who could, you know, win a speech competition and get second in other competitions could somehow be so terrible the next year at writing a speech that it just wasn't good enough.
And then the FSU became involved. I believe your family got in touch, right, with the Free Speech Union. Is that how that connection started?
Yes. So we were aiming to have a meeting with the deputy headmaster, and I mean with the headmaster, with my parents. Mm. And the issue, the meeting kept getting pushed back. They kept delaying it intentionally because they were, again, hoping that the issue was going to die down. So what I did is I reached out to numerous organizations, including the Free Speech Union, including the Platform, and a few other political parties. And obviously the Platform took me on as a story, and the Free Speech Union were very, very interested in my case.
Okay. So where are things now, Oliver? How are the FSU helping you out, and how do you take it to the next level, let's say?
Yeah, so currently, I mean, we're awaiting on a response from the school. It was 2 weeks ago when the Free Speech Union decided to go public with the conversations and publish them online and these things that were said. And we sent an email 2 weeks ago to the school, to the Board of Trustees, outlining everything that was said in these conversations, what laws were breached, and how this has, you know, affected the situation. And we've heard nothing, nada. It's been a terrible response from the school, that they haven't said anything. And yeah, I mean, we're contemplating how we're going to take this further, whether that is through a legal system or through a formal complaint, possibly a filing a court application. We're still in the conversations with that.
Are you still at the school?
Yes. I'm still at New Plymouth Boys High School.
How does that work for you?
I mean, it's been fine. The teachers have certainly been muzzled. They were told in a staff meeting that they can't discuss my issue with anybody at the school, out of fear that they might slip up or say something incriminating. But I feel that they've treated me fairly within my education, not outside of it to do with my speech, but in my classes, it's been relatively fine.
Just circling back to something you said early on in this chat, I think as part of the decline of the West, you mentioned what men as traditional roles, let's say. It's interesting because you're in a boys' college and you'd think that would be of interest, particularly in that environment, that aspect of it.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely surprised. And because within my speech, it was different things that they pointed out that were offensive to them. I only had the female teacher said that the traditional values, that was offensive to them. I had somebody else say, another teacher say that it was the mass immigration section that was offensive. And it was clear to me that there was no consistency here. There wasn't one specific section that was offensive. It was personal biases coming out. And yeah, I now that I think about it, it is quite surprising that they wouldn't have been very fond of my section on traditional values. It's a good point.
Do you think gender of teachers had kind of played a role in who was affected by what in response to your speech?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, there were definitely the female teachers were felt offended by the traditional values of females as, you know, nurturers and caregivers.
But that's a historical fact.
I know, it is a historical fact, and it was almost like they didn't want me to point that out or express it at a speech competition. I mean, it's a fact. You look at Western civilization, you look at all the sculptures, it's in the history books. It's a historical fact.
Yeah. What have you learned from this, Oliver? What's the takeaway from this, do you think, for you?
For me, there's definitely been lots of personal growth for me here, but definitely justice and standing up for what's right. My parents don't necessarily agree with everything I say. I mean, my mum's a working woman. I'm a descendant of obviously immigrants, and not everything I say in my speech aligns with everything that I do in my life. But the reason that my parents have supported me through this is because it's setting a lesson to me that you do have to stand up for what's right. You have to stand up for when you've been wronged, and you can't just let things go. And I think it's been a very important life lesson for me that I will take away from this.
What about your schoolmates? What do they think about it?
My friends are very supportive of it. They don't necessarily agree with my speech, but they definitely support and believe that I have the right to express it. The students at school have been fine.
Has it given you some kind of direction for the future now, this experience, what you might want to do?
I'm definitely more interested in the likes of politics and definitely law. I'm very interested in law as of current. And, I think I'd be interested in being a lawyer and maybe eventually a politician when I'm older.
Too many lawyers in the world, Oliver, just
too many. Might add to the numbers.
And the mix of lawyer, politician, no, don't know about that. But, I mean, whatever you want to do. All right, so in the end you got to, as I understand it, deliver the speech at the Beehive Theatreette, epicenter of power of the country almost, alongside Professor Nigel Biggar, who's been out for the FSU AGM, and David Seymour. So
yes.
I think your principal never expected possibly that to happen. What was that experience like?
Oh, it was great. I received a phone call from the Free Speech Union saying that, hey, we've got an event down in Wellington. We're opening for an Oxford professor who's flown over from the UK, and we thought that we'd really enjoy you to present your speech at Parliament. I was completely shocked. I mean, they paid for my flights down. They paid for accommodation. It was a great experience, and I performed my speech on what Jonathan Ayling, the head of the Free Speech Union, called the Podium of Truth. And jokingly, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And it was very good. It was very good to talk to Nigel Biggar because he talks a lot about Western civilization, and he almost specializes in that, and ethics and morals and everything.
Yeah.
And he was very interested in my speech, and especially the mass immigration paragraph. He found that quite interesting.
Yeah, and we're not the only country dealing with that.
No, exactly. I mean, you look in the UK, they've been having all these almost like cultural wars, and churches, I mean, churches being converted to mosques over in the UK and all these fights in the street and fire and everything. It's quite devastating.
Here's a prediction, Oliver. I think you're going to go a long way.
Really, Brent? Thank you.
I think so. And what a really interesting experience you've had here. That's a real learning, growing experience for such a young man. Many don't get hit with that till later on in life. So you've put that one under your belt. That's just my personal opinion on that. What happens to the tapes that you've got? You've still they're sitting on a thumb drive somewhere, are they?
I they're on my phone currently, and I've got them backed up and saved. But they may be useful eventually if it does go down the legal route or having to prove that things were said. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, it's great hearing your story, and we'll follow it, and maybe we can talk again when there's some progression in resolving it in the end. Is that what you want? What do you want, actually, from your school? An apology or an acknowledgement or an opportunity to... Well, maybe they've already given you that. I don't know, but I doubt
no,
it.
No, no. I mean,
make the speech.
It's not to make the speech. It's the number one thing that we're seeking and that we're wanting is just an apology for them to come out and say that they did wrong. I was in the right. They've an acknowledgement of guilt. that they made the wrong decisions here and to apologize for that. But I mean, we've heard nothing along those lines whatsoever. We've just heard deflections. We've heard lies. We've heard I think they tried to make a form of an apology, saying that they apologized if I felt wrong.
Oh, that's the faux apology, usually. You know, I'm sorry if you're feeling that way. No. I want to hear the apology for you making me, putting me in this situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, I sound like I'm telling people what to do. I'm not. Oliver, it's great being having you on our program talking about that. And like I say, we'll follow it when there's an update. Maybe we can have another chat. And like I say, get ready. You're going to go far. I can just tell.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.